Tonight I want to go into the significance that I never realized until I started studying and going from Scripture to Scripture based on things that are mentioned. Tonight we're going to talk about the significance of why John the Baptist was in the wilderness and how much a role the wilderness plays that I just, myself, until I studied it over the last month, have never realized the significance of the wilderness and how significant it is to Israel. And so I thought it was interesting, so I thought we'd touch on it. But in Matthew chapter 3, if you look at verse 1 through 12, we'll just read real quick, and it says, everybody there? In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we know that's the issue, to repent because of the kingdom being at hand. And we also know that he's preaching this in the wilderness. Verse 3 says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So now, I know we've read this months back, and we looked at this scripture months back, but we're going to just break it down a little bit more tonight, because there's some things I believe that are important dealing with the wilderness, dealing with what John the Baptist wore, and all these things play a significant role. If it didn't play a significant role, then why would it be mentioned of in the Bible to begin with? So there's things that are important to Israel that many, I believe, knew that we may look at and say, wonder why that was. But trust me, when this was told, these people knew what John the Baptist was talking about. At least many did. What we know so far, it's clear after past studies that there is a generation of vipers. It's not like these people just all of a sudden came on the scene, but there was a generation of these kind of people. And we followed months back, we followed this generation all the way back to the Exodus, to where these people left, right? You remember talking about that? It goes all the way back. Now here they have been identified. We just read that. The problem is, and I always thought about, well, these are just bad people. But honestly, the problem isn't just their sinfulness. A lot of times we'll read this and we'll think they're just sinful people. The problem isn't just their sinfulness. They all knew they were sinners. The problem is the lack of recognition of their sinfulness. These were people that would not recognize that they were sinners. They would not recognize that they were bad. They were religious people who thought they were better than others. Okay, they willfully would not come to God's statutes or requirements, the things that they needed to do, to where many of Israel would go to the feast. They would go to the temple, and they would seek forgiveness. They would go through all the statutes that they were supposed to go to. These people thought they were above that. This generation of vipers thought they were above the law, and that was one of the problems. And that's why John says what he says to them. Now at this point, the repentance is focused to what? To the kingdom that was at hand. The issue of the repentance now was why? Because the kingdom was at hand. The setting, of course, here is where? In the wilderness. Okay? This shouldn't be at all awkward to Israel,
They had a feast every year dealing with this that took place in the wilderness. Where was it? It was the Passover, right? I mean, they should be familiar with the wilderness and the issue because of even the Passover. Go to Leviticus chapter 26. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 26. And in Leviticus chapter 26, look at verse, tell you what, we'll start in verse 27. Now, we know John's on the scene in Matthew. We know what we just read. We know he has confronted this generation, this group of people that go all the way back, and this generation of vipers. And we know he's gone out into the wilderness, okay? And we know what's going on and what he's telling them, that who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Okay? They thought they were better than everybody else. Okay? And so we know if you go back here and look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 27, it says, "And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemies' land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it." And so we see there's issues going on. Let's continue to read. "And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall upon one another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Because even because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses." Now,
So we see a lot's going on and a lot of conditions that have to be met. And it's amazing that as we study this in John, it's very similar, okay, to these brood of vipers, these vipers that have come to see. And John says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Right? It's almost like a similar message that goes way back. In fact, in verse 40, of course, speaks of what they are called to do at this time. This is now in connection with the kingdom being at hand. It fits almost what was told there in the same manner of what John the Baptist is saying now that the kingdom is at hand. It was the same kind of issues. And now again, being brought where? Into the wilderness. And so it took place back then too. Many things here are tied to the wilderness. There is a significant, I believe it's, there's a significance dealing with the wilderness. Israel understands the significance the wilderness has with the past. When John, don't you think when John came out into the wilderness, don't you think there were people, now there may have been some that didn't know, but there were people that can remember what took place with their ancestors and their heritage here back in Leviticus when it was told by the hand of Moses and what Moses had told them to do. In the same manner, here's John acting now the same type of situation, but now the kingdom is at hand. And I'll get to the main part in just a minute, but stay with me. What the wilderness does, it connects, I believe, the past Israel, okay, with where John is at now with future Israel. I believe they connect here, and these people can connect too. The prophets made it clear it will play a role in the future. Even the prophets would make it clear as you read that the wilderness had a significance. This is where I believe we are now. We're bridging these two. Okay? Look at verse 45 in the same chapter. Chapter 26, 45. It says, but I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So this is the issue that they came out of Egypt. They were going to follow the statutes and one of those things that they were called to do. And then all of a sudden they get away from God. They don't fear God. They said that what happens to them? They never go into the promised land, do they? Right? In fact, they wander around for 40 years and they die off, don't they? Out into the wilderness. Okay? And so it's almost, this of course is coming if they don't act positively to His message. In connection to an Exodus back there, we're going to see where John the Baptist is in Matthew chapter 3. Here's another picture of an Exodus, I believe. And of course, Exodus means an exit. And that's what I want us to see. These people were familiar with what took place back then, just like we're familiar, or most of us are familiar today, with what? How this country was founded. We go through school and we learn. Well, they were much more learned of their heritage than we were of ours, right? And so that's what John is saying in Matthew chapter 3 through these verses. It's a picture of the same thing that came from the hand of Moses to those that were away too. What happened? Remember, God was silent for how long? How long was He silent? He was out. They were done. They were gone, right? And now the king had come. He was born a king. And John the Baptist now has a message just as though as Moses had a message. Right? And so you'll see the differences in these. We're going to see now in Matthew 3 that Christ is going to manifest Himself again through what? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Again, He's going to do it where? In front of their enemies. Right? What happened in Egypt when they left and there was an exodus? Same picture, right? So we see that again. He'll make a display in the sight of many nations, won't He? And that's what took place in the past. So what He did before in Egypt, of course, is a smaller scale of what now is going to take place, right? Because we know after John speaks, and we see this in chapter 3, who's on the scene? Christ is, right? And so that's what John is preparing. And that's what he's telling them. Okay? Remember, in times past, it had an impact. not just to Israel, but to other religions also. Don't you think? Do you remember when? What happened when Israel left Egypt? Egypt went broke, didn't they? I mean, they didn't have the people to work. What else happened? When Israel was walking in the wilderness and God was leading them into wars and they were winning wars, what did it do to other nations? He would destroy them. And I mean, this little nation was making havoc over all the other nations, and people would fear Israel's God. When they were in Egypt and they left, look what it did to the economic system of Egypt. And so in the same manner, John the Baptist is saying the kingdom is at hand. He's telling them to be baptized for the remission of sins. And all of a sudden, these that believe they're higher than the others show up. And there's the same generation that goes all the way back. It's not like a new generation. It's the same generation that also had warnings. And so just as the fame spread back then, it's going to become again here in Matthew chapter 3. It's even prophesied. If you go to Isaiah, look at chapter 65. Now, remember what we're doing here. This has nothing to do with Gentiles, right? Remember now, we are noticing the importance of the connection of John the Baptist being out into the wilderness. Okay? And that's what I want to get to. In Isaiah, I guess I'll turn there myself. I didn't memorize the book of Isaiah this week. In Isaiah chapter 65, and let's just start in verse 1. Isaiah 65:1. The word says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not, I said. Behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. What was the issue? It was about their own thoughts, right? A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your, what's it say? Fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. This generation goes way back. And God's anger is there, right? And that's what some things that we see. Go to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, and we'll start in verse 27. Look at what Christ says. In verse 27 it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now, if you'll notice, this generation of vipers was an issue, right? It wasn't that it was all their sinfulness. It was that their thoughts, and they thought they were above that. And they would not follow the statutes of God, but yet they would look righteous, right? That goes on all over the place today. But I just want you to see that what took place in Leviticus, what John was warning them about, is the very thing that Christ brought about in Matthew chapter 23. Now, this is where I felt like this really got good that I'd never noticed before. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. I just think when we see this, the Word is so absolute perfect and fits so well is why I love this study. In Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. Hope y'all are following with me and see some of this, because I know it's a lot of reading, but it's important that the Word is so perfect and absolute. And we'll touch on a couple of different verses after this, but we'll just look. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation, whereat? In the wilderness. So here's the thing that's written in Hebrews. And look at what all is taking place now. You go to Leviticus, where all that took place in the wilderness. You go to John in Matthew chapter 3, where he's warning again. And you have Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23. And here is the last hope for these people to gain a knowledge and an understanding to fear God and to follow His statutes, right? So, I mean, you even see this, another hope when Hebrews is written here to these of Israel. Now, let's continue to read, and you'll notice this again about the wilderness and why you would see it would make sense for John the Baptist to be in the wilderness. In verse 8 it says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. They're going all the way back when they came out of Egypt. He's sharing history here of what needed to take place. Now in verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. There's that generation again. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not, look at this, enter into my rest. Okay, that's important. You're going to see this enter into my rest a lot. It's the kingdom, right? What was the problem with the wilderness? What was the promise those people had when they left Egypt? That they would go into where? There was a promise made into the promised land. They were going to enter into a rest, and they never did. Right? And so that failed. And who led them in? Joshua did, didn't they? But did he promise Joshua and his people that they would enter into a rest? Absolutely not. They never entered into a rest. They entered into the land, didn't they? But it was there was a new statute. There was a new time. And it leads all the way up to Christ and them believing he was the Messiah to enter into the kingdom. And so we'll keep reading this and he'll bring this out. I think it's interesting. He says, verse 12. Well, what do they do now that they know this? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, he's speaking to those that believe, and it's another proof here that those that believe Jesus was the Messiah that did not endure to the end could fall out of this, right? They could fall away from this because he's speaking to those who believed Jesus was the Messiah. They had to endure to the end. And that's what he's saying here. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold, see the condition they had to make? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, how long? Unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not come, that should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't believe the message that God gave them, the promise that he gave them, and he goes all the way back to this. I think something interesting that I noticed as I was reading, if anybody had a New King James or another version, I don't know if anybody has that with them now, but you'll notice the New King James and all the other versions that I could find read differently in verse 16. Where it says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Where it says that, in the New King James, it says, was it not all who came out of Egypt? As if all of them did it. Just if you get a chance, mark that down and go look in your other word. It totally changes the text. Now notice the phrase, enter in. Okay? If you go to verse 17, again, look at chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? They were going to enter into the promised land, right? And for 40 years, what happened? They were destroyed, right? Well, let's keep reading. I want you to see some things in chapter 4. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Let's look at a few verses. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Okay? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Do you see this word, enter into my rest? Enter into my rest. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is the key verse of it all. For For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The writer of Hebrews is showing this issue that in the wilderness, not all believed, right? And so therefore they did not enter into the promised land, right? And it's the other issue that the Hebrew writer is saying, you better hearken the words, you better listen. He is telling those, that nation of Israel, you better listen. Okay, because they had not entered into that rest yet. And if they wanted to enter into the rest, right, what did they have to do? They had to believe, right? And so here's this picture again that goes starts back with John the Baptist in the wilderness sharing this message. Okay? Because just because Joshua and them entered into the land, that rest was not there anymore. It was a new generation. Right? And so you see here, if we continue to read in verse 10, it says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." You think works is not important? They still had to labor. If Moses would have taken them in, they would have entered into their rest. That's why he talked about the Sabbath before. It says, "Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So therefore, they could become unbelievers. Right? Now, what I want you to notice that I never saw is just in verse 8. And I hope, when I saw this in verse 8, I hope it brings it all together for you. In verse 8, it says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" That is key. Number one, what I want you to notice, Joshua and Jesus are the same name. There's no J in Greek or Hebrew. And the name Joshua can be the same as the name Jesus. Of course, in the English language, we break it out. So the first thing to notice is the name Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Now, when the writer says this here, he is talking about Joshua. But he says Jesus. He says this, I believe, for a reason. I believe there's a reason for it. Okay? Because there are a lot of places he says Joshua. But here, he wants to say Jesus. Why do you think that is? The reason it is, he's dealing with what had been and is also talking about what's going to be. Okay? Taking place now with these people. The first thing he's doing is in verse 8, so far he's shared with those before before Joshua. Before they entered in, right? That's, I guess we could say that. Those that were following Moses that never made it. They wandered around forever and ever, right? And so they died out. And there was a whole new generation that came to be that followed Joshua in, right? That's the picture. And so now he's sharing this in Hebrews because they had not listened to John the Baptist. They had not listened to Christ. In Acts, you see they did not listen. In Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, again, right? And this writer of Hebrews says, look, I'm going to give you a picture of what happened before. They did not enter into their rest. And it was because of unbelief. And that you better believe. That was the issue. So, he is dealing with what had been and also he's talking about what's going to be. They will have an opportunity to enter in, right? Unlike somebody else. This writer of Hebrews says, look, these had no chance to enter in before Joshua. You have an opportunity, if you endure, to enter into the rest. Right? Because they had no hope before Joshua. They wandered around the wilderness. That generation and all those wandered around. Now, look at verse 8 again. It says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Doesn't that make sense that if they would have entered in and they would have had rest, would we even brought out John the Baptist? We have brought out Jesus Christ on the cross. We have brought all those things about. Wouldn't have been necessary. But God knew. God knew these people were going to do this, right? He knew all along. But he said he would not have spoken of another day. But constantly after Joshua, what's it speak of? Another day. Another day. Another day. Another day. There's silence. Right? Because they have just gotten so far away from God. And then what happens in Matthew? A king is born. And then they have the messenger, John the Baptist. And where does he go? Out into the wilderness. Can you see that not just freaking some people out to hear this message of John the Baptist in Matthew 3? Because they knew exactly what their ancestors did. They wandered into a wilderness for 40 years and were destroyed and never entered into the rest. And John the Baptist says, you better repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then he warns him who's coming. And that, to me, it just brings it all together. And when you see the writer of Hebrew bring this out to them, that you better hearken, you better listen, or you'll never enter into the rest. Right? Now, if you continue to see that in verse 8, we'll read it one more time. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? So back there, after the group in the wilderness, after the 40 years where they had all died and were not allowed to enter in, okay, the group that came in with Joshua, or that Jesus brought in, okay, isn't it neat how their names are significant? This group that came in didn't get the rest that was promised to the group before. Right? We never read that. Something was preached to that group before that's getting preached to this group now. You see that? It's come full circle. And you see how important I think the wilderness is, why John the Baptist didn't go into the cities, but he went out into the wilderness right where it left off. You don't think that brought significance to those who remembered, to those who knew, to those who had been taught, to those that the promises were made, to those that the prophets spoke about? It made all the sense in the world. So in other words, an opportunity was given to that group there. That's being given an opportunity to this group that's hearing this now. An opportunity that is giving again to this group now that was given to those who wandered out in the wilderness. To get to that land, right? To follow the statutes. To work. To labor. All those things. That group back there, the group before Joshua, that group back there was given a chance to enter into something. An opportunity that wasn't made available again, was it? You never see it was made available again. Until the time that this gets fulfilled today, if ye shall hear His voice a particular day. Until that time, they didn't have that. Read verse 8 again, it'll come clear to you. For if Jesus had given them rest, who's them? Those that walked in to the promised land. Who walked in with them? Joshua. I think it says, if Jesus would have given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? What they got with Joshua was not what was promised to the previous generation. Right? They didn't know that. What was it? A land of milk and honey, wasn't it? The previous group, they had an opportunity of entering into a kingdom that John the Baptist is going, it's at hand. And he's out in the wilderness where they all were destroyed. Right? The group that's hearing this now is having an opportunity, just like the group before them. That's the opportunity that being prepared and presented where we are now in the gospel accounts. Right? They are going into the wilderness to hear that message. Because what? They were all coming. If you read Matthew chapter 3, they're all coming out in the wilderness to hear John preach the message. Why? It's time for another exodus. As you read Matthew, another birth of the nation to enter into that long promised rest. Right? Repent ye therefore, for the kingdom is at hand, is what John preached. Doesn't that make more sense? Can you see the significance of why John the Baptist went out into the wilderness? You know, I think it brings full circle how perfect God's Word is. That it leaves off right where the promise was stopped to that other generation. Now, John the Baptist is saying, prepare ye, for the kingdom is at hand. And then the writer of Hebrews says, look, if there was going to be rest, right, there wouldn't have been promise for another day. And now, that's coming to life. And there's those that are a generation of vipers that didn't want to know because they were more religious than others. That generation can be followed this all the way back. This same type group is here again. And if you start reading Matthew, you see there's another picture of another exodus for this nation that was promised all the way through. Think about it. If you were Israel, if you were this nation that learned all these things and knew your history, because many did, they went to school. You don't think these religious leaders knew? You don't think there's a lot of them that didn't know, that ignored it though? That were in unbelief, that were unrighteous, that were self-righteous? And they see this picture of John the Baptist going out into the wilderness, preaching that the kingdom is at hand. And they don't bring back what the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, where he says, for if Jesus had given them rest, would he not afterward have spoken of another day? So they'd entered into rest. For all through the Old Testament, there wouldn't have been another day spoken about. But John the Baptist brought it out. He brought to life what the prophets had been saying. And Jesus Christ is going to bring it to life. And the Hebrew writer is reminding them again. I don't know about y'all, I just think it makes the Word so much more perfect as you read these things. And that John just going out in the wilderness wasn't because, hey, I just feel like going out in the field and doing this. It was the issue, I believe, everything was ordained of God for these people to recognize it, for Israel to notice. And the Hebrew writer is reminding them, they had this. The hardest thing is they had to endure, and they did it. And so in Matthew chapter 3, it makes all the sense in the world to me. The story is just, to me, so more real when you know history. When it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he goes on in verse 3, he says, For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Why the path had to be straight? Because they were crooked. And he was coming out to make them straight, for them to not have unbelief. Because the only way that they were going to enter into the rest is to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. The ones before them failed. They had an exodus and they failed. And the one here again is another exodus. And I just think that's what we see here.